Wonderful. Well, thank you, Steve, and thank you very much for your warm welcome, particularly warm welcome on a day like this. It's lovely, isn't it? Incredible for a bank holiday, so thank you. Praise God for that. Before I speak to you about CAP, we thought it'd be really nice if we could just tell you a little bit more about what Eileen and David are doing, sort of locally, with CAP, throughout your church family. So, first of all, can I ask Eileen if you'd like to come up? Eileen has been a valued member of my what we call befriending team for a little while now, and we thought it'd be lovely if you could just hear something of how the Lord has blessed Eileen and used her in that team. So Eileen, how long have you been doing CAP befriending now?
Well, we've agreed finally that I started in at Christmas, just before Christmas 2015. I can't believe it's that long. I thought it was the 2016. Yeah.
Yeah, fantastic. So what's the role involved for you?
Well, when we started, I saw it as supporting, it was just Simon at the time, supporting Simon and now David. When they're going through all the paperwork, some really tough things to do and go through, and I can be there as well, chatting a bit, lightening things up a little bit, and loving the people that we see too. After that, after the meetings, I do try and keep in touch, and I think texting is absolutely brilliant in this context, because you can send somebody a little message just saying, I'm thinking about you, praying for you, hope you're okay. And if they want to reply, they can, but if they don't, if they're in a bad place, at least they know we're thinking about them. I do keep in touch as well, not very often by telephone, but occasionally. The other thing is taking people out for coffee. Because if you've got no money, you're very isolated. And sometimes if you're not working, you could be stuck in a house or a flat all day. And just to be able to go out and have a cup of coffee and just talk and talk and talk. You know, I know I talk a lot, but I am actually quite a good listener as well. And sometimes that's all you have to do. But it's a lovely thing to do. The other things which probably are extras is helping somebody to move house, taking someone to hospital for hospital appointments, things like that. But that's part of developing the friendship and the role.
Fantastic. So I'm sure you've had many, but any particular highlight that you'd like to share with us?
Well, I'm not going to tell you any of the secrets because they'd identify people, so I'm not going to. But the thing that has grown as we've done this, as I've been involved over these years, what I've realised is that it's a real privilege. You know, for people to invite you into their home and to trust you with all of the stuff that they're going through, that is a privilege, isn't it? And we couldn't go in there and do that unless God was with us. And I don't think Simon or David and I, we've ever gone into anyone's house without praying about it before we've gone in. Yeah. And we nearly always start the meeting with a prayer too, don't we? And often we don't leave without praying as well. If people are receptive, and actually, I don't think anybody's ever said no to us praying, have they?
It's very unusual.
Yeah, it is. It is, you know, just coming alongside and having empathy. You know, we are so fortunate, aren't we? You know, if we had no money, if we were up to our ears in debt and the phone was always ringing and, you know, how would we cope with that? So I think just to be able to listen and to love is really important. And on Tuesday morning, Steve was reminding me about Matthew 25, verses 34 to 40, about when we do something for the least of these, my brethren, you're doing it for me. And I hadn't thought about that, but the thing I want to say is that without God, we couldn't do it. And it's amazing, you can go into someone's house and meeting a complete stranger, and in half an hour could be hugging them and crying with them, because God gives us that empathy.
Yeah, wonderful. Yeah, God has given you a real heart for the poor and broken, hasn't he, Eileen? It's been wonderful to see Eileen ministering to people in their homes. It's been...
I don't know how it happens or why. Well, I do. The Holy Spirit moves, but you can't. Yeah. I think everyone we've met has been like that, hasn't it?
Yeah. So, in closing, what would you say to anyone who would maybe be inspired to get involved in doing befriending?
Well, Steve a few weeks ago talked about mentoring our young people, And it's the same sort of thing. It's sort of mentoring, bringing our experience to, not to preach or anything, but just to be able to smooth things over, to make things, you know, to give examples of perhaps what we've done and come through to help in a situation. But it is just, you know, it is being a good listener. I know I'm talking a lot, but it is about being a good listener and loving people and being a friend. And to remember ourselves, not to be judgmental, but to remember, but for the grace of God, it could be us in that situation, couldn't it? And you will be blessed. If you take this on, I can assure you, you will be blessed, because it's such a lovely thing to do.
Mm, wonderful. Okay, thank you. Shall we give Eileen a round of applause? Thank you, Eileen. She's done all that on 1 hour's sleep as well. Fantastic. So well done, Eileen. Thank you. David, would you like to come up and we'll learn a little bit about what you've been doing with CAP? So what's the role that you've been recently trained for, David, with CAP?
As he puts on his glasses. I'm a debt coach. My role is to be the communication channel between local people seeking debt advice, and here in Rutland, and the specialists, the people with the expert knowledge, the debt counsellors themselves in Bradford at CAP's headquarters. Mm. And this involves, it's a process really. It involves visiting people in their homes, I'll describe the three steps. Firstly, we visit them and absolutely key, form a relationship. That's what Eileen's been alluding to. And firstly, to explain how CAP works. That's the first time. And then if all goes well with that, going back again and collecting all the necessary financial information that the person has and sending that off to CAP's headquarters. And subsequently, you know, maybe a couple of weeks later, after the debt counsellors have had a chance to analyse it and think it through, to come back and present the options open to the individual to work their way out of debt. And hopefully they take it on board, they accept the proposition and they agree to work with CAP, and then proceed with CAP until, you know, over maybe quite a time, until they're completely debt-free.
So, what interested you about the role when you saw it advertised here locally?
Well, we don't believe in coincidences, do we? No. God has plans for our lives, and He opens doors. Yeah. And sometimes it's rather obvious He wants us to walk right through them. Well, that's how it worked out for me. It was actually about exactly this time last year when, you'll remember, Simon, you came to Rutland Food Bank to talk to the supervisors there to you know, give some information about the CAP service so that the supervisors could, as we say, signpost people to in your direction. People who, you know, talked about debt and were clearly struggling, signpost them in your direction. And that caught my attention, you know, really interested me. And so I took away the book you kindly brought with you. And it was it's the book by John Kirkby, the guy who started CAP. And it's really inspirational. And then coincidentally, right, it was, I think, maybe a couple of months afterwards, I was at a national conference and John was the keynote speaker. And he was fantastic, you know, really inspirational guy. But what I didn't know was going on at the time was that you, Simon, and Steve, you were talking about Rutland and OBC and how we might partner in actually enhancing the service here in Rutland. Then, in September, there appears in the Pulse magazine an opportunity to help out as a debt coach. And so I just said, clearly, this is something I need to get involved with. and so I got in touch with you, and here we are today.
Yeah.
I think that the big appeal for me is the very nature of CAP. And it really gives someone a personal opportunity to help people and specifically help people in their spirit, with their spiritual matters, that, you know, give them help spiritually. If they're open. The opportunity to share the gospel, to give your own personal testimony, and as Eileen's already said, to pray with people. You see, the thing about CAP, it's an extraordinary organisation, but the key point, it's unashamedly a Christian organisation. As the name suggests, Christians against poverty. And it's so much more than merely, if I can use that word, merely helping people with their financial situation. It's really about giving hope and transforming lives. And it's that what differentiates CAP from other debt agencies. And that's what I really love about it. As Matt Barlow, who's CAP's CEO, says, we're evangelists first and debt people second. So that's excellent. How I saw okay. things.
So you've been to Bradford and met the team up there.
Yeah.
You've been trained.
Yeah.
So since you got back locally here, what have you been doing for CAP?
Oh, well, it's been busy. I finished the training, I think it was March the 26th. Already I'm connected with three new clients, visiting them in their home. And it's a wonderful experience, actually, to meet people and to try and help them. And also I've been getting in touch with various local agencies, people who can refer, people they know about in debt to us, and also in touch with all the other local churches here in Rutland.
Okay, great. So how could your brothers and sisters in Christ here pray for you, David? How can we pray?
Well, Jesus is absolutely at the heart of CAP. So prayer is absolutely vital. Without prayer, we would be pretty much like any other debt agency. Quite frankly, what would be the point? But specifically, right now, what we need prayer for is prayer for more befrienders to join the team and go out on visits with myself. Prayer that we should meet the people of peace in the community, the people who can connect people in debt with CAP. And, of course, prayer for people who have contacted us, that they may be encouraged and that the Holy Spirit will be at work in their lives. I've also had a chat with Julie about setting up a regular, let's call it e-newsletter, specifically about CAP in Rutland, for OBC people particularly who might like to be prayer supporters on an ongoing basis. And that way we can highlight prayer points and keep that good communication. And it would be great if people would just let me know if that was something you'd be interested in.
Terrific. Okay, before we let David go, let's just pray for him. Let's just pray
thank
for David.
You.
Yeah. Loving God, we thank you for the heart that you've given this man for struggling and hurting people in this local community. We pray that you bless him and equip him and use him, Lord, as he reaches out to people, as he goes into homes and has that privilege that we've mentioned of going into hurting people's homes and coming alongside them. We pray that you will use him, Lord, to reach out with the gospel so that we see many people in this area here come to take Jesus as their Lord and Saviour. Well, thank you for him. Equip him and bless him, we pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, David. Give him a round of applause. Okay, thank you. Well, thank you again for your welcome. We've called the talk this morning, Make Space for the Poor. And that's really what this is all about. This is what CAP's all about, making space for people who are struggling in debt and other issues that are there. We do a lot of money management courses, and one of the slides that we use on there is a picture of an iceberg. And you know what icebergs are like. You see what you see above the water, and then there's a big block of ice underneath as well. And if you remember the story of the Titanic, it was the iceberg that was hidden that actually caused all the damage and sunk that ship. And that's a little bit like what debt's like. You've got the visible stuff above the waterline, but underneath is all this other stuff that's going on, causing chaos and problems. So, you know, be it relationship breakdown, be it an addiction, be it a sudden job loss and the stress and strain, the depression that comes from that. So it's really about making space for the poor in our lives. So it's great to be sharing with you this morning in worship. We think of it really as a bit of a celebration, really, of launching your role, David, alongside mine in your partnership with CAP. So it's been really great getting to know David the last few weeks. As he said earlier, I met him first about a year ago when I came and spoke to the food bank briefly. And it's great the work that he's doing there. And also you as a church family supporting the food bank as well as Christians Against Poverty. He's visited his first few clients, as he said. So those bookings are starting to come in. And we did a presentation together on Thursday evening as well. He's got another one coming up this week. So he's been very proactive in the local area. So do please remember him in your prayers. So this morning, I want to speak to you from the Bible on how God's word, if we take it seriously, demands that we make space for the poor. First of all, in our thinking and our theology. Secondly, in our treasure. And thirdly, in our time. And my prayer is that at the end of this morning, your hearts are moved by the God of compassion to care more about the poor, which is something really we should all do, be generous givers and share our resources with those less fortunate than us. And thirdly, to act on behalf of the poor, include them in your hospitality. So let's first think about making space for the poor in our thinking and in our theology. God's love and compassion for the poor, and also his challenge for us to care for the marginalised and downtrodden, is a constant thread that's weaved throughout Scripture. From the Old Testament law to the prophets, from the Psalms through to the Apostle Paul, God is constantly urging us to care for and speak up for people who are poor and in need. People who are struggling to survive physically, emotionally and spiritually, who have no voice, no influence, no power in society. You'll come to see over the next few minutes just how often this is mentioned in the Bible, and it seems we need constant reminding. We forget very quickly, don't we? And just like any parent, God knew that we would need instruction and urging to take the difficult path to put aside our own needs and think of others. But we can only do the right things if we think the right things. And Romans chapter 12 says that we should be transformed by the renewing of our minds. As Christians, as we're sanctified and we grow deeper into our relationship with God, we are transformed by the renewing of our minds. Now, from the Old Testament, we may think we know the reason why God was so displeased with the city of Sodom. It was a really sinful place, wasn't it? Well, Ezekiel shines a different light on it. In verse 49, Ezekiel says, "Now this was the sin of your sister Sodom. She and her daughters were arrogant, overfed, and unconcerned. They did not help the poor and the needy." And that's a pretty hard challenge. If we don't help the poor and needy, we are in danger of being arrogant, overfed, and unconcerned. The Psalms, Proverbs, and Prophets consistently inspire and challenge us to care for the poor. Psalm 82, verse 3 says, "Defend the weak and fatherless. Uphold the cause of the poor and the oppressed." Proverbs 21, 23 says, "Whoever shuts their ears to the cry of the poor will also cry out and not be answered." And this theme is carried on in Isaiah 58 when God says, "You cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. See, the Israelites were not living lives that reflected God's heart of compassion and care for the poor. So their praying, their quiet times, and their fasting were ignored. God says, "This is what I really want you to do. This is what believing in me really looks like. Do this, and then I will listen to you." Isaiah 58, verses 6 and 7 say, "Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? Then you will call and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help and he will say, 'Here I am.'" Now Jesus chose the words of Isaiah 61 to announce his mission. This was his inaugural speech, as it were, and a summary of what his mission and purpose were all about. I'm sure you remember when he stood up in the temple and said, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour." So as Jesus' followers, we need to ask ourselves, is his mission our mission as well? Is the purpose of his life the purpose of our lives too? To proclaim good news to the poor. You see, it's simply not enough to pray and come to church and try to do the right thing without looking after those who are in need around us. James chapter 1 verse 27 says that religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Now the widows and the orphans were the poor of that day. And in Galatians chapter 2, Paul was checking in with the apostles about the gospel he was preaching to the Gentiles. And after talking and discussing with them, he says in Galatians chapter 2 verse 10, "All they asked was that we should continue to remember the poor, the very thing that I was eager to do." So let's make sure that we too remember the poor in our thinking and our theology, out of right thinking, the right care, compassion and action will flow. So what about making space for the poor in your treasure? Well, when God was setting out the law for how his people should live, he made it very clear that he wanted us to make space for the poor with our treasure. In other words, our income, you know, what we own. Leviticus chapter 19, verses 9 and 10 say, "When you reap the harvest of your land, do not reap to the very edges of your field or gather the gleanings of your harvest. Do not go over your vineyard a second time or pick up the grapes that have fallen. Leave them for the poor and the foreigner. I am the Lord your God." Now here God was speaking this instruction into an agricultural society. If people owned land, they would be growing food on it, whether that was corn or possibly vineyards. So God made it as relevant for them as possible. For these farmers, their produce was their income. And they would have kept some of the food for themselves and sold the rest. Now today, the majority of us aren't farmers, are there? Apologies to any of you who are farmers, but majority of us aren't. But the principle is the same. And God is basically saying, don't consume all your produce and keep all your wealth for yourself. Don't go right to the edge of your financial field, reaping it all for yourself. Leave some space on the edges of all you earn to care for those who are struggling. Make space in your finances and life for those who are in need. Make sure you have a plan in place to provide for the poor with your income. God wanted a certain behaviour to care for the poor, and he gave them a system to do it, to leave a certain amount of the field unpicked so that the poor could go along and help themselves and gather food. Now, this system doesn't work in our context today. So we have to set in place a different system that ensures that we set aside some of our income and make space for the poor in our treasure. And I guess we call them direct debits and standing orders really today. So what about making space for the poor in our time and at our table? Now personally, I think making space for the poor in our time is the most challenging area really in our busy society, in our busy lives these days. But true love and compassion calls for action. And we see this really well demonstrated in the parable of the Good Samaritan. If you remember, the Samaritan not only gave of his money and income to help the poor man, he also got involved and gave his time as well, didn't he? He was on a business trip. He had places to go and people to see. And yet he stopped and he got involved in the mess of that situation. He was prepared to be delayed. Effectively, he gave of his time. If you remember from the story, he bandaged up the man. He put them on his own donkey. And presumably, that would have made the trip a much slower that he was on. So Jesus calls us to make space for the poor at our table. And Luke chapter 14, verse 12 says, "Then Jesus said to his host, 'When you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers, your sisters, your relatives, or your rich neighbours. If you do, they may invite you back, and you'll be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous.'" So Jesus is quite clear in this passage, isn't he? That we aren't simply to be friends with those who are like us. We're meant to include the poor in our lives, in our time, and in our hospitality. So what does connecting with hurting and broken people look like for us today in 2018? What if no one in poverty is actually coming into our churches? Well, this is really where Christians Against Poverty comes in. And opening a CAP service is all about connecting God's people, his church, with people who are hurting and broken. And through your partnership with CAP and with St George's Church in Stamford, you're allowing myself and David to connect with people and offer Jesus' love as a way out of people's crushing situations. For example, there will be mothers undoubtedly here in Oakham who will have to look their children in their eye, probably today, and say that there's nothing for them to put on their tea table. And in a survey that CAP did, 2/3 of families admitted that they missed meals before CAP's help. A lady client who I spoke to not so long ago, who I've been helping in Market Deeping, said that she'd been putting water on her cornflakes for 3 days because she couldn't even afford a pint of milk. You know, people feel really written off by society and hopeless about being out of work, crushed and embarrassed. In the UK, 1 in 7 people drink more than they should. And if the amount of money lost in gambling was averaged out to everybody in the UK, it would cost us all £286, every one of us. So today, people will be considering suicide because they can't see another way out of their debt situation. A shocking 38% of CAP's clients said that they had thought about taking their life before we got involved with them. And certainly I can think of a good number of my clients who said that we wouldn't be here now if you hadn't helped us and got involved in our lives and in our chaos and mess. And Jesus, he wants us to proclaim good news to the poor, doesn't he? This was Jesus' mission, and as his followers, it should be ours as well. To get involved in that mess, to get involved in people's lives, to help practically as well as by caring and giving. Now, the political think tank, the Centre for Social Justice, names 5 pathways to poverty. Severe debt, unemployment, addiction, family breakdown, and educational failure. And CAP, in its work that it does, try to address all of those in one way or another. CAP is enabling the local church to be the answer to those issues. Some of the biggest things that are going on in society now, through our 600 church-based projects. For people who are crushed under the weight of debt, our 300 centres will lift the burden so that people can breathe again. And by equipping David, you're playing your part in helping that to happen. And David and his team of local befrienders, people like Eileen, will visit clients in their home, giving support and love, whilst our award-winning debt counselling team gets to work at our head office in Bradford, backing up everything that we do. What CAP does is take away the chaos of demand letters, endless texts and phone calls, and just brings hope to people in their need. This means that rent and bills are paid on time, parents can feed their families, and they can heat their homes. We speak up for clients by negotiating with their creditors so that unfair interest and charges are stopped or reduced and affordable repayment plans are set up. We silence those constant phone calls, endless demand letters and relentless bills, and we come alongside people and help them cope with calls from enforcement agents or what used to be called bailiffs. Praise God, 2,500 people a year go debt-free through CAP's work. It's a massive number of people. And every time that happens, CAP phone up the people and blow harmonicas in the background and say, well done, everyone for sticking at it. Praise God, it's wonderful to see. £3 million worth of debt is either repaid or written off every month by CAP. Every month, £3 million. And a really encouraging statistic is 93% of our clients stay debt-free and 82% said they still use a budget to stay in control of their money. They see the value of the way that we deal with people. We encourage people to save so that come an emergency cropping up, they can actually buy things for themselves rather than having to consider credit again. All of these things are why Martin Lewis, the money savings expert who you've probably seen on television, maybe heard on the radio, he cannot sing our praises highly enough. And he quotes to say that CAP are unsurpassed when it comes to debt help. And we have a quote from him on our leaflets here that we give out to people. He's actually in Bradford this coming week, meeting up with the CAP management team. Of course, all we do is done in the name of Jesus. You know, we are Christians against poverty. And truly preaching good news to the poor has to include telling people about Jesus. We always offer to pray with our clients, to give God the chance to move in their lives. And we know that having faith in Jesus is really what transforms lives, isn't it? Being part of a church and a new community of friends and family eradicates the loneliness and isolation that people feel. Last year, we saw an incredible 1,106 people across the UK make a commitment to follow Jesus. And all of that happened through things that were going on in local churches, just like yours. And that really excites me. It's fantastic when we run our client events and we proclaim the gospel to people and we see people come to faith. Now, this means that we've never had any government funding. And so we've relied on Christians and churches to fund our work. People who believe that everyone should have that opportunity to hear about God and how he can change their lives. So we have a short DVD clip now with three people sharing their story about how CAP have impacted their lives.
I just lost all hope, to be honest, that it wasn't going to happen for me. No one's going to help me, and I was doomed.
I did attempt suicide in the brinks of despair. I did, I think for a year, I just carried on drinking and drinking and drinking and drinking.
I counted the application, job applications one year, over 500 job applications.
I didn't want to be around my children. I just didn't want to live anymore. I couldn't see a way out.
I wanted to kill myself, so, you know, I took overdoses.
So I had nothing, really, and nothing to look forward to.
If I was very lucky, I'd wake up, it would be in my flat. If not, 9 times out of 10, it was in Durrington police station.
It becomes one big
got
blur.
So low for
where
it,
bailiffs at the door,
where you just don't care about literally anything.
I wanted my life gone.
The debts were so bad.
Say, why not the game jump
for this? I'm going to say, please help.
Came about the release group because I contacted CAP and I said I had issues with addictions, especially around drink. where the actual group was based was actually in a church. And, yeah, I'll be honest, it might have been the fact I knew that I'd probably have something to eat there and a drink that got me through the door. The guy that ran it was brilliant. And through the weeks, we looked at all different topics, like anger, forgiveness, and it worked, and it did work for me. You know, since I found God, I don't, any situation I go into now, I believe he's there. I mean, he's here right now. Before the release group, I was drinking pretty much every weekend. There was, so since the release group, yeah, not touched a drop.
I'd been out of work for a long period of time, and I thought I'd heard everything. So we did this interview session. I had a real interview the following day. Every question that we'd gone over was asked me again that day, and it was so easy. It was such a breeze. I was so relaxed. I believe that's one of the reasons that I got the job. And most of the people that I started with are good friends, and most of them have jobs. Since I've become involved with CAP, I became a Christian, which I didn't expect. So a fantastic Lord's with us all the time, a wonderful life.
I went along to St John's and I met Emma, and I remember walking through St John's Church, and there was an instant connection. I felt absolutely at peace. I was frightened because I knew I had so much paperwork and debt. I didn't know what to expect or where to begin, to be honest with you. And she sat me down and she was absolutely so kind and just made me feel at ease. And we started our journey. I remember actually helping me with food as well that day, because I had no food. The bankruptcy was all filed and filled out at head office, which was amazing. It was in two packs, and one was for me and one was for the bankruptcy. And then we went up, Emma and I went up to the court. It was amazing. Just, you know, just the weight lifting. And today I'm full of the Holy Spirit, and I do believe this is God's will. And I feel that I've always had a hole in my soul and my life, but it's been fulfilled now. So I feel I have peace of mind and I feel quite content. You know, and I'm really grateful, really, really grateful for Christians Against Poverty, because without them, I wouldn't be here today.
I have a clean, sober life. I don't smoke anymore. I have my family back. I have a contact with my mum and dad that I've never had. We get on, we laugh about so much stuff, there's no arguments. And I believe that had I not made the decision of contacting CAP, I probably would never have got that. So thank you, CAP.
Yeah, the CAP job's brilliant. There's something for everybody that's out of work. And since I got a job within the first month, absolutely fantastic. New life, new leaf, all systems go. I'm a Christian and I love it. I'm a happy Christian. So thanks a lot out there, all you people at CAP.
Since meeting Christians Against Poverty, I've found a faith which I'm truly grateful for. I'm debt free, I don't drink anymore. I've got my family back, I'm a nan. I worship every Sunday and I'm so happy to go forward for the rest of my life debt free and happy. And for that I'm truly grateful. Would you consider giving £12 a month to Christians Against Poverty to change somebody's life like mine forever? Thank you.
Okay, the guy who was at the job club, Stuart, from Sheffield. I met him at one of our conferences a couple of years ago, and he's just still beaming from ear to ear. He's really in love with Jesus, and I love the way he describes himself as a happy Christian. That's great, isn't it? So there's two things that I'd love you to do this morning. We have some books here called Nevertheless. This is actually the story of how CAP started, written by John Kirkby, who started CAP 22 years or so ago. So we'd love to give you one of those if you'd come to the table at the end. We've got plenty of them. Very powerful book. It's very raw and real because it's taken from his diary day to day, how he set up CAP and all the obstacles that he faced and how faithful God was to him and has been to the charity. All you need to do to get your copy of that is to fill out one of our little leaflets here that are liberally sprinkled around the church. If it isn't one on your seat, then please, we've got plenty more here. So if you want to fill out the section on there that says about the Nevertheless the Form, a book on your chair, then at the end of the service, just come have a quick chat with us down the end here at the desk, and we'll give you the book and take your form from you. So how do we make sure that we're making space for the poor in our thinking and our treasure and in our time? I pray that this morning God has reminded us of his heart of care and compassion for the poor. And by supporting CAP with a monthly donation, you'll be setting a system in place to ensure that you've left space for the poor in your treasure and in your life. You'll be leaving space at the edges of your finances by giving to CAP. Now, CAP is primarily refunded by thousands of Christians who give regularly to our work. And before the banner went shooting down earlier on, almost decapitating someone, it said on there that there's 26,000 life changes across the country. Well, it's nearly 30,000 now, so it's a little bit out of date. But that's just fantastic, the heart of people to support us financially. So we'd be so grateful if you would be able to do that by filling in one of these forms. Our vision is to have 1,000 services by 2021. At the moment we have 600. We've got 300 debt centres, which is what myself and David do. In addition to that, there's 300 different job clubs, release groups, etc. going on as well. There's also well over 800 churches who run the CAP Money course. And I know that's something very much on David's heart to look at possibly introducing in the future. So our vision is to have 1,000 services like that by 2021. So to enable us to do that, we really need people to give. And as the lady said on the DVD there, £12 a month is the average that people give. But whatever you can stretch to will be gratefully received, and every pound does make a difference. Now, for some people, making space in your treasure and your income could be £50 a month. And John Kirkby has set up a very special team of vision sponsors, is what he calls them, where he's trying to get 1,000 people across the UK who are able to give £50 a month or more. And he gives them special updates by email on everything that's going on at CAP. If you're already a life changer, and I'm sure there are a few people out there, just a massive thank you to everybody from CAP for what you do. And maybe you would consider increasing your monthly gift if that was right for you at this moment. So I look forward to having a chat with you down the front here, along with David and Eileen at the end of the service, where you can hand in your form and collect one of the books. But in closing, can I ask you to really get behind David in his work for CAP? You know, pray for him, encourage him, and maybe even consider becoming part of his befriending team and coming alongside Eileen and one or two others. So thank you very much. It's been a pleasure sharing with you about CAP's work, and God bless you.